for the benefit of those with flash photography.
You guys, I am really struggling with this intro today. This is like take 11, and it's not going to be good, but I decided after take 10, maybe this is take 12, I don't know. After all these takes, I was like, screw it. I'm just going to start talking into this microphone, and whatever comes out is about to be the intro. Welcome to DreamWork. I am Colin Delaney. In a moment, I will be joined by my tag team partner, Cheech. This is DreamWork. It's a tag team podcast about tag teams. But this week, we are talking about a trio. And this is a trio that has been on our schedule for a long time, because any way you slice it, the New Day is one of the greatest tag teams of all time. So finally, we decided we mustered up the courage to tackle them, and it's kind of relieving to check them off the list, because they've been sitting there for so long. So we knocked it down, we checked them off the list until 5 years from now, when they are still around and still killing it, and we can look back and be like, holy crap, they are still killing it 5 years after we did that podcast about how incredible they are. So without further ado, let's do it. It is Xavier Woods, it is Big E, and it is Kofi Kingston, and they are the mother friggin' New Day. Oh, Cheech!
Oh, you're so lucky, you son of a bitch. I want to do the loud baritone thing, but I was like, no, let me not. And then you come right out with it.
I don't know how that's going to sound when I, play this back. It's probably going to be real bad.
It sounded okay to me.
All right, excellent. Well, are you ready to feel the power?
Yes, I totally am ready to feel the power.
In addition to watching The New Day, I also began listening to The New Day's podcast in preparation for this podcast.
Oh boy, how's that going?
It's good. I was tempted to start this podcast like they start their podcast, but I was like, I'll just do their intro thing.
Yeah, that works.
But yeah, we had some extra time this week to prepare ourselves. Honestly, I don't think I needed it.
I needed it a little bit, but I planned it out well enough. And here's the one thing: I did have to cut myself off because they have a plethora. So
yeah. So if you want to get right down and dirty into preliminary thoughts about the New Day,
I was interested. But my preliminary thoughts were more interested in the homework I'd have to do, because I was like, oh, okay, it's a very different studying. And I remember I got at you a couple days in, do we do their trios matches? Because we are covering them. And you were like, yeah, I did a few. I was like, all right, I'll do a few as well. So that was my initial thought, was ooh, what's studying going to be like? Of course, I was excited because it's the New Day, but I was just like, ooh, I wonder what it's... I was interested in the homework of it all.
Yeah, preliminary thoughts for me was stressful.
Oh, you were stressed about it? I wasn't stressed about it. I was just like, oh, I wonder what that's going to bring.
No, I was stressed because I like to do it chronologically, but then I started getting in my own head, and I was like, well, do I do chronologically of each trio pairing, of each pairing? Do I do Big E and Kofi first, and then do I do Kofi and Xavier, and then do I do Big E and Xavier, or do I just roll through it? It took me a couple. I had to think about it.
Okay, yes, I do know that stressed side of you. That does sound familiar.
yeah, I couldn't wrap my brain around what the best way would be to do it. For the record, I did just go with just chronologically in general, and let the chips fall how they fell.
Yeah, that works. I ended up basically doing the same thing, just because, once again, the plethora. of work they have, of content. Ooh, we're on a podcast. We'll talk about their content.
So I as always look at their cage match. They have more first of all, I didn't necessarily realize that they just got together in the end of 2014. It honestly feels like they've been together forever.
Really? I remember the time I was like, I didn't even remember 14. I just remember like, oh yeah, like 2015. Yeah. Okay, I remember.
No, I thought in my head it's earlier. They got together earlier and they were a thing and they just became the super popularist thing of all time in 2015. But for some reason, my brain just has them existing forever.
Well, I hate to break it to you. I know the time-space continuum is a little weird in this whole, you know, quarantine lifestyle. But, dude, it's 2021. So, you know, 2015 was a while ago. I know it's not 2010, but it's 6 years. That's a heck of a run.
It is, but I don't know. And then when you look at their cage match, and they have more pages worth of matches in the, I mean, it only covers 5 years because it stops in 2020, but 5 years worth of matches, they've got like 10 cage match pages of matches.
Are you saying they have more than the Rock and Sock Connection?
They have more pages, more full pages of matches than the Rock and Sock Connection has matches.
They've probably had more like a specific gimmick match more times than they've had normal tag matches. Like they've probably had more cage matches probably than the Rock and Sock have had matches maybe.
Yeah, or ladder matches maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
They've definitely wrestled Cesaro more times than the Rock and Sock Connection ever teamed.
I think me and you together may have wrestled Cesaro more than they.
That's probably true. All right. So let's talk about their championships and accomplishments.
Yes, this I was excited for. I was like, ooh, I bet you they've got a pretty good one of these.
It was interesting. I left off some of the individual accomplishments that went along because I was just like, let me just nail in on this tag team thing. So they are 3-time Raw Tag Team Champions. By the way, it does have a breakdown of what the titles were, like who technically held them, but I did not take note of any of that.
Gotcha.
So they are 3-time Raw Tag Champ and 7-time SmackDown Tag Champs.
Oh, man. Okay.
Making them 10-time WWE Tag Champs in total.
Yep.
Let's see where to go next. They just this past year, because this is the first year PWI did it, the PWI top 50 tag teams of 2020, they were number 8 on that list.
Okay. They
also were the PWI tag team of the year 2015 and 2016.
Ah, that's what I was waiting for. I was like, I bet you they had to get tagged year at least a couple of these years. And I was like, ooh, I wonder which years. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
In addition to being runner-up in 2018 and second runner-up in 2019.
I like it.
Weird one here. They're number 44 on Sports Illustrated's top 50.
That's recency bias in a bad way.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when Sports Illustrated made that list, but I feel like it may have been like 2019. So at that point, you're still, you know, not enough data to go off of or whatever.
Yeah.
They won Wrestling Observer Best Gimmick 2015. Strange.
Okay.
And they were the Rolling Stone Wrestlers of the Year in 2015.
Wow.
Weird, interesting, random statistic. And other random things, you know, during their run, Kofi did, of course, have that incredible world title run. And I think it said that Big E had a title run in there, too, a solo title run. But I did not write those down.
Yeah, those also were in there, too. Yep.
But yeah, so, you know, since they've been a team, they've been either team of the year or basically runner-up every year.
But I was interested. I was like, ooh, what years did they get it? And once again, I think we've discussed this on other on with other teams and other podcasts with the same rankings. There is a bit of a bias to their early years, despite in your brain thinking, well, the longer they team, the better they get.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be interested because now that it's in our brains, eventually we're going to come across some team that like won tag team of the year a decade in, and we're going to be like, what?
So, but you know what I mean? You'd think that would make more sense.
Yeah. No, when a team gets hot and gets hot on the scene, they'll be tag team of the year. But they'll probably have their best year of their career, you know, 3 years later, and then the Young Bucks will win. For example. But yeah, so that is their championships and accomplishments. 10-time tag champs. I can't say that I am even a little bit surprised.
I'm not. I was surprised by like the lopsidedness, but then I was like, okay, yeah, they technically made their home more at SmackDown, but it is very lopsided.
Yeah, and Wrestling Observer, they were never Team of the Year, but they did a good Best Gimmick in 2015, which is a bit strange.
Well, okay, do you remember there when the New Day wasn't really a gimmick that was quote-unquote working?
Yes, oh yeah. So I watched a lot of that. I got stuck on the early stuff in the beginning of this. Just because I was like trying to, because in order to get there, I wanted to get all the you know the twists and turns of the New Day. Once they made their final, they settled into their kind of final form in like late 2015. Then you could just hop around and watch matches. But early on, I wanted to catch all the twists.
Gotcha.
But they talk about it a lot on their podcast. That's why I pulled the podcast up, because I remember hearing that the first episode of their podcast, they just talk about how they became and like all the ups and downs of it.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. When it first came, but like, wow, we're so removed from it. But I think if I remember right, I was arguing, oh, yeah, okay, it's all flooding back to me now. Okay, I remember vehemently believing that the New Day were smart enough to understand that being introduced the wrong way would work in a slightly longer run. Like, I don't know. I saw them come out and like it wasn't working because they were bad guys, and you know, they're trying to be so positive but it made them bad guys, and I was like, is this a meta thing? Like, okay, they knew they were going to be the Rock going out there and being super babyface and getting booed to the point that eventually it would all come together. You know what I mean?
I remember being on a car trip with you and you preaching all about this.
Yeah, exactly. Like to the point where I was like, Brody, I need you to put me in contact with Xavier or something. Because, yeah, like the dude's got a PhD. Yes, it's all coming back to me now. Like, yeah, we used to discuss this on the road. I was like, it was at a time with wrestling where it was like, if you wanted to be good, you had to kind of play opposite so because you knew the crowd was going to turn on it type thing.
But they ran it. They almost double ran that. You know, they started as baby faces, like legitimate baby faces, but almost in that way where they were doing the ooey gooey baby face so hard that the crowd would eventually turn on them. But then they kept the bit up long enough that it turned back around on them.
Exactly. And they have other things like that they figured out that worked along the way. Like, I'll spoiler it now. Like the trombone obviously became like, oh, they're definitely going to be good guys now. You know what I mean?
But let's get into what matches we watch, and then we can dig into this, because I don't think coming out with a trombone is babyface at all. It's the most obnoxious instrument of all time.
Okay. All right.
What'd you
so watch? I guess then here I'll just go first. All right. First I dug into, okay, this happened last time we did a team that had a ton of matches. I ended up to be able to, you know, get a good idea. Like you can't just go on the network and look at New Day versus, because it's just gonna go 99 matches plus, and it's just gonna go somewhat chronologically, and I was like, I don't want to see any 2020 stuff. So I had to look up per year. So what I ended up doing would be like New Day 2015, and I'd look up a couple matches, and I would just go year by year. So, like, I started off with, like, this one would be Kofi and Big E versus Kid and Cesaro from Extreme Rules 2015. Oh, wait, yes, here's the other cheat I had. They also have a playlist called The Best of the New Day. It's 4 hours. I kind of just watched that at first, and then I dug into everything. So this is right off their best of. That one from Extreme Rules 2015. Then you get Kofi and Big E again versus Primetime Players, Matadors, and the Lucha Dragons from SummerSlam 2015. Then you get Kofi and Big E versus the Usos and the Lucha Dragons in a TLC match, or a ladder match at TLC 2015. Kofi and Big E versus Y2AJ from a Raw in 2016. Now we get the switch. We get Big E and Xavier versus Usos at SummerSlam. It was pre-show, but it was awesome. Then we get, again, Big E and Xavier versus Usos at Hell in a Cell, which was bonkers. Then we got Kofi and Big E versus Ambrose and Reigns from a SmackDown. Then I think this is where I started digging into things. Oh, yeah, here we go. I got a Kofi and Xavier versus Stardust and Goldust from a Raw in 2015. Kofi and Big E versus Sheamus and King Barrett from Roadblock 2016. I got a Kofi and Big E versus Gallows and Anderson from a Raw in 2016. Kofi and Xavier versus Gable and Benjamin from a SmackDown in 2017. Big E and Xavier versus Zayn and Owens on a SmackDown. And Xavier and Big E versus Bludgeon Brothers from SummerSlam 2018, another bonkers one. Kofi and Xavier versus The Bar at Super Showdown in Australia, that was cool. Xavier and Big E versus Revival from Clash 2019. Kofi and Big E versus the Viking Raiders, Fish and O'Reilly. Then I dug into the multi-man. So it was the whole New Day versus Owen, Zayn, and Ziggler from a SmackDown in 2019. Then Big Show and The Bar on a SmackDown in 2018. A Neville and Lucha Dragons from a Raw in 2016. And then the big famed Survivor Series match versus The Shield in 2017. When I got into those six mans, I was like, whoa, this is such a crazy thing. It's such a breath of fresh air.
So that's a lot. We do cross a couple of times here.
Did you take advantage of the best of playlist?
So here's the deal. I looked for it and I couldn't find it on a quick search. So I just kept moving. I did it my own way.
Okay. Okay. All of them. Cool. Then yeah. Let me hear what you got.
So once again, my chronological brain, I started with their debut, which okay. is a six-man against Curtis Axel, Heath Slater, and Titus O'Neil.
Cool.
Then went to E and Kofi against Goldust and Stardust in end of 2014. Then beginning of 2015, Xavier and Kofi against Kid and Cesaro. Then mid-2015, heel Xavier and Big E against Lucha Dragons. Then I watched the Extreme Rules, Big E and Kofi against Kid and Cesaro. Then I watched Xavier and Big E against the Primetime Players in 2015. I watched the E and Kofi against the Usos from the Rumble pre-show. I watched the Roadblock match with Big E and Kofi against Sheamus and Barrett. I did watch the Y2AJ match from Raw. I did watch the SummerSlam 2017 kickoff show match, Xavier and Big E against the Usos. I watched a SmackDown match against The Bar from 2018. I watched them against Zayn and Owens from Stomping Grounds 2019. That's Xavier and Big E. I watched the Clash 19 match against The Revival. And then I finished with them against the Street Profits, Xavier and Kofi against the Street Profits from Survivor Series 2020.
Ah, you went and did it. I put a line in the sand. I go, I am not watching anything with no screens for fans.
So my issue was I wanted to get more Xavier and Kofi because Xavier and Kofi didn't really team a whole lot throughout the run until recently, which is they're now the team. So I was like, I have to watch something from the recent because I think I only watched one Xavier and Kofi match all the way throughout.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't really pay attention too much to the permutations, but like I definitely got a feel for them. I kind of like them in their permutations. So I was like, oh, okay, I obviously saw enough if I if I can recognize their tandem.
So they are the tandem now because Big E is off doing his own thing. But throughout the most of their run, Xavier and Kofi only got together on like B shows, you know, and like random weird like main event matches and stuff. They weren't really almost ever a team. So that's why I was like, let me dig into something in the last, you know, year.
Well, that's the other thing. We also have the luxury of this team we're covering, despite covering all the different versions of it, is still going. So I was like, okay, I still also have like my recent brain. I can dig into what I've liked they've done in the last year and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I'm kind of sad you didn't start with the very beginning.
Well, because here's the thing. I was hesitant to dig into the trios matches. I was like, all right, no, I assume Colin's just going to want to go strictly tag matches.
You kind of can't with the new, you know, because once again, right, their first appearance together is a six-man, and they get Pyro!
Well, okay. Yeah, no, that's the thing. They definitely, it's weird. It definitely felt like the company was behind them. But, like, right, it felt like they were getting the push and the attention, but it still felt a little low-rent-ish.
Dude, it's listening to the podcast where they talk about it. It's so funny because, like, when the first, vignette comes on and it's Xavier doing the whole preacher thing, and they said, like, everyone in the back was like, oh, that's cool. They got something for Xavier. That's cool. Nice. And then the next week it was Big E, and everyone's like, oh, man, poor Big E. He's going to kind of be held down by Xavier. And then the third week was Kofi, and everyone was like, no, no, don't do this to Kofi. Don't do this. But, yeah, so, I mean, while yes, they definitely put some kind of stock into it. They got double Pyro. They got the Pyro that shoots up, followed by the Christian raining sparkles.
Oh, that is high production.
And they were, you know, they were doing their ooey gooey babyface, but they were straight babyfaces getting babyface cheers.
I know, but I was still like, there's something up with this. I feel like that. Yeah, you know, I mean, it just felt very like they were going for a rock in, you know, 95.
Yeah, and then so they debuted. That was November 2014 was their debut. And then by April 2015, I was even watching, like, some of – if there was a New Day promo that, like, the segment that came right before the match was a New Day promo, I would watch it. And the one before the Lucha Dragons, their thing was – because they were now heels, they clap or they snap.
They threw a lot at the wall. We can definitely say that.
Oh my god, yeah, for sure. But I like, so essentially though, the shtick has never necessarily changed. I mean, it has, but like, it's always been they are obnoxious, over the top, you know, like too much.
Yeah, but I feel like they're less preaching positivity nowadays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, though. Once it took those early twists and turns, once they landed on it, it was like, oh, here it is. We're doing it.
It became less like motivational speaker and more just three fun guys being positive. Then it was that – I feel like that was a big thing.
But I think that their heel run – was despite the fact that they've been baby faces ever since, their heel run was the most necessary thing they did.
Oh, absolutely. 1,000%.
It molded what the team became, and the team at times still acts heel.
Yeah. They're just them now. They kind of like, they are what they are. They're unicorns. Oh my God. Look at that.
Like you said earlier, like, oh, they're definitely baby faces. They have a trombone. Are you out of your mind? If some random wrestler came out with a trombone, you would instantly hate that guy. You know you would.
Okay, no. I mean it in this way. I mean it more in the fact of, like, New Age Outlaws. Like, when they had the trombone, they had catchphrases. They had the whole intro that they did, where they would say certain things over and over again. You know what I mean? They started giving the crowd a lot more to play off of, which a big thing was the trombone. Yes, they didn't like it, but once again, it became a thing where eventually the crowd played into it. You know what I mean? It was just more interaction. Where I was like, okay, now they're getting over, like, New Age Outlaws because they just have shtick.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. I mean, they had a cereal box. They had pancakes. They had all kinds of things. The trombone, though, once again, if you told me there was a wrestler came up with a trombone, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that guy's a heel. And you were like, he's a baby face, huge baby face. I'd be like, what? What are you talking about? How?
I am dying, and if I ever get one, I feel... Cause here's the problem. I don't want to steal one from church, but if I get a tambourine, the world is in trouble.
Oh, man. Okay, so in do you have a favorite of the pairings?
Aha, good. I wanted to get to this one. Okay. Okay, favorite may be Speed Force, which is... X and Xavier and Kofi, which is probably okay. My favorite, but the best is Big E and Kofi.
Okay, so man, I went back and forth on this quite a bit. It would change. I didn't say this in preliminary thoughts, but another one of my preliminary thoughts was I don't know how great or how much I enjoy Xavier Woods.
Gotcha. I've also fluctuated on him a bunch in his career.
But I came out of this, he's the glue. He's the most important piece.
Oh, yeah, let's get to it.
He's 100% the most important piece because even when he is on the floor, he is a vital part of the group.
That's the difference. Okay, here's let me see if you broke it down like I did. I broke it down into their roles, which, ooh, I wanted to throw this in. And this is shooting from deep, way back. This is a reference to an NES video game, not SNES. I'm talking original, the hockey game, where you had the little guy, the slightly bigger guy, and the way bigger guy. That was your three options. They cover the full gamut. You've got Big E, who's obviously the muscle. Kofi's the crazy athletic one. And then Xavier, as you watch, he's the striker of the team, and he's the crazy one. He takes all the crazy bumps. Because I was like, oh, yeah, my boy's an X Division guy. He's all about craziness, you know what I mean? And he was also on the indies, you know what I mean, compared to the other two who really weren't. Even though Kofi was, but you know what I mean, like, you definitely know Xavier's been in scrambles, you know what I mean? Whereas the other two probably didn't do a lot of scrambles.
So, yeah. So Big E and Kofi are definitely, like, the more talented, like, professional wrestlers. Like, from, like, a wrestling standpoint, they are the superior two, right?
Yes.
Which also... isn't necessarily a knock on Xavier because Big E and Kofi are both incredible, like world champion caliber talent.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's not just the strong guy, he's like the crazy strong guy. And Kofi's not just the athletic guy, he's the crazy athletic guy.
Yes. But when you put the other pairings out there, when you put Xavier in the ring as one of the pairings, you lose the element of Xavier on the floor, which Big E and Kofi do not bring the same energy on the floor.
1,000%. Like, they, in the matches early on where Xavier's on the floor, they do, you know, dog and pony finishes where, like, he distracts the ref. Oh, one of my favorite ones is the Extreme Rules. He distracts the ref. Natalya hits him, but then he hits Natalya. Then Tyson hits him. Then Kofi hits him, or... yeah, and then then Cesaro hits someone, and then Kofi just rolls him up 1, 2, 3, and it was like, see, you get that extra wrinkle, and ultimately a whole new element, and not just like that. You have a manager that can do like a spot. He's a wrestler. He can go in there and do like take huge bumps. He can do all the spots as well, and be a great manager.
And yeah, that finish was very, it was one of those ECW finishes we love.
Yes, exactly.
All the moving parts, but it just all comes together and the finish happens. And you're like, holy shit, how about that? So yeah, so when so Big E and Kofi are the best combo because it's still a trio, basically. Anytime you have Xavier as a wrestler in the match, Big E and Kofi don't do the same on the floor that Xavier does, so it doesn't feel the same. They almost do nothing.
Okay, but I also thought of it, though, in like, if you take away the third guy, if you just go on the permutations, you would think the team that has Xavier on it would be better because he has more facets. Whereas, like I said, he does crazy stuff. He's a little more spotty. He has strikes, whereas the other guys are like, I'm just athletic. I'm just strong. But I feel like if you're a booker or a guy who runs the show, like in WWE, if you look at all the three different variations, the team you're always going to keep strong. And I hate to say that it's basically size, but Big E and Kofi, I feel like, would always be kept strong more than any other because, I don't know, and I don't even think Xavier is that small, but it just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just feel like in WWE, the tandem of big man and fast guy will always be taken care of more than, like, one of those and an X factor.
Sure. I also hate most of Xavier Woods' signature offense.
Yeah, it's wonky. He's had a long road to where he's gotten to offense-wise, and it's still weird. Because that's the thing. I feel like he had to find a weird spot to get into because of the two guys he was with.
But that being said, Big E and Kofi is like the consensus. Like that was the team. That was the one that you really, you know, that was the A team if you got to grade them.
Yeah, I just feel like that's just the classic tandem of big guy and small and slightly smaller athletic fast guy. You know what I mean? Very heart foundation. You know what I mean?
You like Xavier and Kofi best. I like Xavier and Big E best because they brought some wacky, innovative tag team offense.
Oh, no. Yeah, they definitely all. Okay, here's something I found. Did you find that because they had different tandems and variations, I couldn't remember any of the names of all their cool moves? Like, I remembered them, but in my head, I was like, I feel like if they just stayed one tag team the whole time, I'd know the names to all their moves. But the fact that it always switches and it's always slightly different with the other guy, I was like, I can't ever remember the Unicorn Stampede and the Midnight Hour is really just big ending with the other guy. And like, I was thrown off the whole time. I remembered it all, but I was just like, I bet you if they were just one team, I'd know all the names.
I like that they do the Midnight Hour, no matter what the pairing is.
Yeah.
In the most recent match, the Street Profits match, Xavier does the big ending part.
Yeah, I love that they're that free to just like they will do the other guy's things and stuff. It's not an issue at all.
Yeah, I feel like when Xavier is in the combo, I feel like the offense is a bit wackier. I feel like they're trying different things. I feel like Xavier Woods has that like I don't know, like wants to try new things or thought of something wacky, so they try it.
That's what I call. That's when I kept going. Oh yeah, he's from the X division.
Like the first, like Kid and Cesaro against Xavier and Kofi, they win with a backbreaker double stomp.
Yeah. Oh, that thing's dirty too.
Nasty, right?
Oh, but then, okay. Once again, then there's this crazy factor of like, no. Give him a uranage off the apron, and I'll just slide under and give him a backcracker on the floor. Like that ever went well? Or dude, it looked like it killed everyone every time.
Oh, yeah, and that Usos match when Xavier Woods is like, yeah, just throw me over the top rope and I'll take a Samoan drop on the floor. I'll just free fall.
Or I don't know if it's on Rowan or Harper. He wants to do the super far elbow, but the guy just rolls to the floor. So he just does the super far elbow from the top all the way to the floor.
Oh, yeah, I was there for that match live.
You know what I mean? Like, once again, he's a crazy one because he's like, crap, I'm in there with the big strong guy and this crazy athletic guy. I was like, where do I find mine? I got to be crazy. And he's the one that took the power bomb on the steps. You know what I mean? I don't think Big E or Kofi taking those bumps.
I don't know. Not for nothing, though. I did make note at one point that Big E loves to just take bumps from the apron to the floor or from the ring to the floor.
Yeah, he does have a little death wish.
Like, he took, I can't remember what it was. He took something that he could have just bumped on the apron, but he just doesn't go to the apron at all and just goes straight to the floor. And it's like, why did you do that? It's so unnecessary.
Was it the Revival? Yeah, I think the Revival. The guy gave like a clothesline, and it was like, he could have just bumped on the apron, but went all the way to the floor. I was like, oh, dear God.
Yeah, and not for nothing, but at times, I felt like, and I know this is just Kofi being really good at professional wrestling, I almost feel like watching him, he's so good at getting beat up that I was getting mad, like, I think they're taking advantage of Kofi.
Yeah, he does love to be a baby face in peril, but is always fighting. You know what I mean? Like, I never even felt like either heats they were giving or heats they were taking were ever really, like, boring, per se.
No, for sure. But once again, I think Xavier takes the best heat of the team.
Well, because once again, I feel like he has to dig deeper on everything because I feel like he – well, let's just call it what it is. He's the runt of the litter.
Yeah, so, like, going into this, I was like, I don't know how I feel about Xavier. And then, like, everything I watch about him, with the exception of his weird offense and, like, his weird signature moves that I hate most of, he's the best – at taking heat. He's like a key piece even when he's not in the match. He's one of the most important, he's like the most important member of the team.
All right, well, you went too far. I had a good comparison going there. I was like, ooh, when I said Brunt to the litter, I go, wow, it totally recontextualizes when you're like, oh, he's the Spike Dudley of the team. But then you went and said, you know, that it was, you know, then you made it sound way better. And I was like, all right, maybe he's not the Spike Dudley.
No, he's definitely not the Spike Dudley. And you can tell when Xavier's in there, there's more innovation. There's more like wacky stuff. The Goldust Stardust match, which is like real early in their thing. It's Big E. Oh, no, that's Big E and Kofi. Oh, man. They do a Big E like goes to pop Stardust up and Kofi goes to drop kick him like in the face out of it. It's super scary.
Dude, there's a lot of scary stuff I saw in these matches. I don't know what was going on, but there were a lot of things where I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I realized that I watched a lot of pay-per-view matches and then I was like, oh yeah, maybe that's why a lot of this stuff is like a little G'd up a little more.
Yeah, definitely. I ran into that too. Because once again, they have a bajillion matches. And I was like, oh, yeah, a lot of the ones you're drawn to are like, oh, what's that one? Oh, it's a pay per view match.
I don't think I remember you saying, did you watch the Usos match from the Royal Rumble kickoff show in 2016?
No, I don't think I saw any Royal Rumble ones.
Bro, it is so awkward because the Usos are just coming back off injury.
Uh huh.
And it's early 2016, so the New Day is not yet full-fledged we're babyfaces. They're still basically the heels who get cheered. And the Usos are fresh back, trying their damnedest. But this crowd could give a fuck about them because they love the New Day, who is still being heels.
Yeah, I could see where that is. Because I remember, the Usos did have that weird phase.
Oof. It is oof.
But eventually they got into a good phase. Like those matches early on that I watched that are on the best of. Like, okay, here's a weird one that I was surprised with. The Hell in the Cell match they have with the Usos is crazy. And everybody remembers. What's that?
So it was on my list of things to watch, that one and the ladder match, but I don't get into the gimmick matches, so I was like, I'm going to avoid it. The Hell in the Cell one, though, is like, if you look up New Day's best matches or greatest New Day matches, the Hell in a Cell with Usos is usually number one on the list.
Bro, it's crazy that, A, there's a ton of craziness, and I think it's close to a half hour or whatever, but, like, they're very economical. Like, there's not a lot of fat to the match. You know what I mean? Everything has its place and kind of is connected real quick. Like, I was like, wow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it struck me real hard during that match. I go, man, I don't know. I feel like if this was on the indies somewhere, some guy would get gluttonous and be like, and then we do this, blee, blah, blue, duck under, leapfrog, black roll, blah, blah, blah. And then I throw the chair at you or something. Never. This is all just straight killer. And then, like, the transitions are quick, bing, bang, boom. And I was like, wow, you'd think in a match that has so much stuff and goes kind of long to be like, it was kind of economical.
But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense when you consider, like, who's in it. And at the time, they were, like, they had been at it, at each other, like, the two teams for, like, years at that point.
Oh, yeah, and they just kill each other. Oh, my God, like, the kendo sticks, I was like, yo, those don't feel good.
I feel like...
with them a million times. I'm not even kidding, a million. I'm not even kidding.
I counted at least a million.
Yeah. It was like 1.082 million.
Yeah. I'm sad. I'll probably go back and watch that one just out of sheer whatever that I should have done it anyways, but... I don't know. I always avoid gimmick matches when we do this. I always do.
Yeah, but it was just something that I remember it coming up, and it wasn't too recently. It was a little while ago. I was like, oh wait, there was a best of playlist of the New Day on the thing, so I went and saw it. And of course, they always lean towards. And I was also like, oh, are these all going to be matches where they win too? It's not. They lose a couple times to the Usos on there. So I was like, oh, okay, it's not completely that. But yeah, it is their big matches.
They've also been around so long, they've wrestled every version of Cesaro,
yes,
with a partner who held tag titles.
Who's usually foreign.
So, yeah, always foreign, actually. Cesaro has been on three different teams and held tag titles with three different people, and they've all wrestled the New Day, and the New Day has been staying strong.
Yep, and he's going to try and giant swing one of them.
Man, I forgot how great Kid and Cesaro were.
Oh, right.
I was trying not to do the same teams too many times on this because they wrestle so many people. So I was like, okay, I've already watched them wrestle this team. I'm not going to go back to it. With the exception of when I saw that first Kid and Cesaro match, I was like, oh, they got more of these? I'll dig in a couple more.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It was them, and then I kept wanting to watch them versus Gable and Benjamin, and I was like, no, it wasn't anything that big. Just watch one match with theirs.
Yeah, I watched that first Usos match, and I was like, oh, I know they have dope stuff with the Usos. This match is junk. Let me watch another. And I watched the SummerSlam 17 one, which is awesome.
And it's pre-show.
Yeah, both of them were. They did a lot. They do a lot of kickoff shows, for the record.
Well, because here's the thing. They know that, A, they're entertaining, and a tag match just by sheer nature has more action. So you're going to want, usually, if you want a hot opener, that always helps. And even if it's a pre-show, it's still, you know, an opener.
And I feel like they would get a little more time on the pre-show as opposed to on the regular card.
Ah, I bet you that's what it was too, yeah.
Because sometimes you see that clock start ticking in the bottom, and it's like, and the show will start after this, and the clock's at like 24 minutes, and you're like, oh, they gave these guys time. They were like, screw it, you guys got until the show starts, so go have fun.
Yeah, no, and I also feel like I think there was something either in like the news or something where like that was a thing. It was like, you can be on the pay-per-view and get 10 minutes, or you can be on the pre-show and get 20.
Yeah, that's true, because some of their pay-per-view matches weren't that long, but some of those, like that Usos SummerSlam one, is long.
Yeah, but they also took advantage of them, too. Like, they didn't work as long as, like, World's Greatest Tag Team, but, like, most of their matches I saw were usually 10 to 12, but, yeah, they definitely had a few, like, 6 to 8s in there, but for the most part, they're usually working, like, 10 minutes on every show.
Yeah. The one team that I kind of forgot about and wish that there was so much more of was that Y2AJ pairing.
Oh yeah, I think there was two matches. And I know, and I remember them being good, and I saw, and I made sure to watch one, and it was so good. Like, I think, where was it? It was, okay, Trouble in Paradise gets countered into the walls, and then the Codebreaker gets countered into the big ending. I was like, oh, I like the symmetry. It's so good.
and it's like right after AJ came in, like he just debuted, so he's still like everything he hits is like so much more dynamic because no one's ever seen it before there. So like it, that match had everything working.
Yeah, the one I saw, they did a lion saw right into the springboard 450. I was like, oh dear lord.
Oh yeah, springboard 450 is no joke either. And AJ's so hyped up after he hits it, like he just, you know, like he's fucking just won the Super Bowl.
I know, and I was like, how did that? And I was like, oh, okay. He pulls him out of the ring. I go, okay. I was like, how's he kicking out of that?
Yeah, never. Never, ever. Man, there's just so, like, this is why I was, like, intimidated by the idea of this, because there's so many things we could talk about with the three of them, because technically we did do three teams. But they are all similar enough, but there's enough wrinkles that we could literally discuss the wrinkles of the New Day for hours.
And plus just how they played off the other teams. You know what I mean? Like, technically it was cool to be like, oh, they're technically wrestling Steen Erico from the Indies. But no, it's, you know, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, okay, that's a cool pairing that you wouldn't have thought of a long time ago. You know what I mean?
I'm kind of mad you didn't go all the way to the Street Profits in end of 2020, because it's Xavier and it's Kofi, and it's so interesting because they are playing like the focus vet role.
Oh yeah, they have to, yeah.
And like working the body, and somebody made reference on commentary to like blah blah blah. People have been calling the Street Profits a diet New Day, and I was like, oh, they are kind of diet New Day. Oh, and New Day's kind of just taking them to task.
Well, they should. Oh, yeah, I mean, they've been around the block for a while.
Yeah. So early on in the pairing, you know, Kofi is still kind of playing the hits.
Yes.
I was so happy when he stopped playing the hits.
Yeah, he was just doing his boom drop for a while.
He'll still throw it in every once in a while, but now when he throws that stuff in every once in a while, it's like, oh, hell yeah, I remember that. That's cool. But back when they first got together and he would just get in and do his Kofi Jamaican offense, I'm like, nah, dude, no. And that's another thing that being heel kind of turned for them, because they talk about it on their podcast. WWE thought of Kofi Kingston back then kind of like a Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, of course. Why? I did you not think that?
No, I did. Oh. And like while I'm watching this, I was like, man, how did they ever think they were going to get Kofi Kingston over as a heel?
I just got a kick out of watching him have to, like, he was still doing all, like you said, he was still doing all his Jamaican offense, but, like, he couldn't do Jamaican stuff anymore. So, like, he was doing the boom drop, but he was just, now he was screaming New Day, and, like, he kept trying to find out what to yell or do beforehand. It was funny just watching him have to, like, make that slight little turn where it was like, oh, he used to do a Jamaican phrase here, and now he's got to be like, what do I say that's about positivity?
But yeah, then he kind of gets away from the Jamaican stuff, and it was when they became heels, and they just started doing heel offense and cheating and doing all that stuff, and then I was like, oh, nice, I'm way more into this Kofi. He can kind of like actually just do his thing instead of kind of resting on his shtick, on his stuff.
Yeah, being a good guy can sometimes be a little imprisoning.
Yeah, because you have the things that the crowd wants to see, like Scotty Too Hotty. Man, can you imagine Scotty Too Hotty not doing the worm? Can you imagine a heel Scotty Too Hotty run where he wasn't doing the worm and he was just working? Would have been awesome.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the problem. It is what it is. And here's the problem. Luckily, they don't quite fall into that, though, as baby faces. You know what I mean? Like, no one really demands. You know what I mean? They don't have anything that you would demand out of it. They don't have a worm, per se.
No, and they still cheat at times as full-on baby faces.
I'm okay with that. I call that a Hogan-esque baby face. My baby face is Hogan-esque.
So am I. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't like it. I'm just saying that they do it. It's a thing they do.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
They do, like, heelish. In one of the matches, Kofi locks up with Sheamus, goes around him, tussles his hair, and then poses on the corner like the biggest shitbag heel you ever saw. They are 100% the baby faces.
Oh yeah, but that's the thing. They know it too. They've gotten to a point where they're kind of invincible in their baby face image.
It's wonderful, kinda, and like, and it's so great watching, not just the wrestling, but watching the random things that they now have as you evolve. Like the one match I watched, I think it was the last one. No, the revival one. They're in a video game. They're coming out in full video game gear because they're in a video game. Like they got the cereal boxes. I can't think of anybody, the biggest wrestling stars on planet Earth, who have gotten more cool stuff than the New Day.
Yeah, no, like we said earlier, they definitely, probably hands down, are the most throw-it-at-the-wall group of all time.
But yeah, and like marketability with just everything.
Yeah, a lot of it's stuck. That's the thing. They do a lot out there and a lot stuck.
Yeah, and you know, Xavier is, you know, he's got the video game stuff going on. I heard them call the Midnight Hour the Up, Up, Down, Down at one point. I was like, oh, that's smart. They should just call it that. And it was the only time they ever did it, and I got sad.
Yeah, no, I heard it a couple times too, where I was like, that's where I got confused. I was like, I don't know their moves. If they were just one team, I'd know their moves.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Maybe I was confused. Maybe that is just what they call it when Xavier and Big E do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It throws me off.
Well, now it's just Xavier and Kofi, and not for nothing.
For now,
on the New Day cage match, when you look up their matches, the New Day matches end like they don't count the anything since brand split as the New Day, the stable.
I know, technically, quote unquote, they said it was what is. It is what it is, but no, it's still that tandem's still together, so it still counts to me. The lineage still goes on.
No, I agree. I 100% agree. Like, just because Big E's off doing his own thing does not mean that it should be that they are not the New Day, because you know they're just going to come back to it.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no way they keep them separated for more than a calendar year.
But one thing I think we failed to have brought up is, and we all definitely take it for granted that like Vince or the powers that be had not messed with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not many teams go, we're like, okay, we give you 6 years and basically kind of let you do your own thing.
Well, yeah. Once they were on a cereal box, you're like, oh, this team's not going nowhere.
Well, we don't know. For all we know, they've been pitching breakups since, you know, day one, and they keep turning them down. But regardless, if it's them staying the course or it's the company letting them be, regardless, they seem to have had a basically unencumbered 6-year run of just, you know, do your thing.
Yeah, I feel like I remember hearing in the last couple years rumors of people wanting them to break up and them refusing.
Yeah, I also heard rumors of that at some point they were just like, they know what they're doing. Let them do them.
Yeah, well, they're not wrong because, you know, what they're doing was working. What they're doing is working clearly, you know, and they're, I mean, arguably over the last 6 years, like people say, WWE, they don't make new stars anymore. New Day may be three of the biggest stars of the last decade for sure.
I was going to say, if you look at it, ultimately it churned out one world champion and probably two soon, hopefully for Big E, you know what I mean?
Right. And I mean, they have to be the highest selling merchandise of anybody over this span. They have to be. There's no way it's anybody else.
It would. Yeah. A, they've just got so much. And then there's just like, I feel like, you know, every probably 6 months they have something else that, you know, a new version of themselves they can sell.
Yeah. So, yeah, whoever says that WWE doesn't make new stars anymore, I mean, the New Day may be the biggest stars they've made in since the Attitude Era. So
here's the thing, though. The argument will be made that they made themselves. It wasn't the company that made them.
Whatever it was, they are...
They're reaping the benefits. They're reaping the benefits of it.
Yeah, 100%. They're one of the most marketable things WWE probably has ever had.
Oh, definitely. And it's been a machine. Like, they just have been churning it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it was funny listening and going through the matches and hearing things like, oh yeah, I forgot when that was a thing. Like, I can't remember what it is off my hand right now, but I remember something they said in the match and I was like, oh yeah, that was the thing they were doing for a second.
Bro, clap or snap.
Yeah, things like that. Things like
I had to make note of it. It's like written in like the side of my notebook just so I wouldn't forget that they had a promo about how they clap, because if they don't clap, they'll snap.
Yeah, they threw a ton against the wall. A lot stuck, but a lot also fell off. So yeah, there are plenty of things they did. But yeah, it was such a time capsule going through, and they'd be like, oh, in this motif, when they were bad guys, they were really, like, they'd be super obnoxious with their, you know, three-man promo in the beginning. But then slowly it became a lot more catchphrases and things like that. And I was like, okay, now we know what motif they're in now.
So, man, I don't even know how to nail this down, but what makes the New Day, what made slash makes the New Day so great?
Once again, I think it's like what we've said with plenty of other teams. It's the whole package. It's the fact that in any permutation, you have a great tag team. And then, yes, Xavier is the best on the outside, but even the other guys are still have more charisma than most. You know what I mean? But I say what makes them great, I would have to say in their greatest form, would be when it's, you have the freakishly strong guy with the freakishly athletic guy with the great mouthpiece and genius on the floor. You know what I mean? That, if need be, can get in the ring and do everything. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
The full package. Like I said earlier, it's like that old NES hockey game. You got a big guy, a little guy, and a little skinnier guy. You know what I mean? They got everything covered.
Roles. Like, they all have, so like, they all have their roles, but it's not like the stuffed down your throat, you know?
Yeah, they didn't seem as delineated as like the Four Horsemen always seemed.
Right. They're not like, oh, and this is him, and this is why he's here, and this is him, and this is what he does best. They don't force it down your throat. You just watch it week in and week out. And at the end of the day, they've made themselves interchangeable, despite the fact that they are all three so different and all have like largely different roles. They've made themselves interchangeable, which is kind of nuts when you think about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that is, I mean, I feel like it doesn't even do them justice for what makes them great, because there's, like we talked about, there's so many things, like, you know, their marketability is off the charts at this point. And that's like a random non-wrestling thing, but like the fact that they've made themselves into what they've made themselves, which is a brand bigger than wrestling, is bananas.
Yeah, and then you could even go outside of the ring, look at all the things. Of course, Xavier's got his whole empire with up, up, down, down. But then, you know what I mean? Like, Xavier, or Kofi, I remember watching videos about him, and he had his sneaker show he was doing on his YouTube for a second. Or, like, Big E right now is doing something where he's trying to get some Black History things done in schools and, like, films and things. It's like, see, look at what the – that's how you know they're great. You know what I mean? They've transcended.
Yeah, 100%. And they're still going. They're still active. There's nothing stopping them.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what I mean? The fact that they once, I guess that's the biggest thing. They've transcended past outside of the genre of wrestling. So, you know what I mean? They obviously are great at it if they can get out of it too. And still, but once again, they have feet in both worlds.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, how do you want to do this? Do you want to say how we'd beat each pair, or do you just want to say how we'd beat them?
I don't know. I guess we'd go each pair, because once again, there's different wrinkles with each one. Like, if we go with the best version of Big E and Kofi, it's like, I don't know. Let me think for a sec. Well,
yeah,
what would you think if you're going against the best version?
I'm trying to think of times where I even saw the best version of them lose.
Yeah, that's true. That's the thing. They were very protected. And that tandem was the most protected.
Yeah.
But, okay, I still think we got to go back. Like, yes, together they're great. But, like, Kofi's a little awkward. He's a little suspect. He's a little open. He's definitely more open than Big E. That's just the Sherman tank. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So if we're talking Big E and Kofi, I think I don't want any part of Big E's comeback, but I'll take Kofi's comeback all day.
Oh, you want you? I'll take belly to bellies.
No. I'm not saying that I won't take them, but I'm saying, like, for the sake of, like, withstanding, I think Big E can come in and clear house on us, whereas Kofi, I think even once he gets rolling, we can slow him back down. But once the big man gets rolling, we just can't let him roll.
Oh, I'm going to just matador him on the apron and be like, you know you want to dive at me. You know you want to dive at me. And then just...
it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, he loves to eat shit on that thing. I'll be like, you see this red cape, you big bull? Charge.
Yeah, but then how do you, like, I don't even know if Kofi's capable of having his shoulders pinned.
Yeah, but we could hit all of our offense on Kofi.
You have to unload the clip on Kofi.
Yeah, exactly. We let Big E kill himself because he's a bull in a china shop, so you just let him do. And hope he knocks himself out. And then, yeah, we just unload everything on him. Bam. That's how I say.
I think we go hard at Big E all match. We isolate E. And then we stop Kofi when he's on his roll. And then let Big E wipe himself out trying to save his boy.
Well, yeah, of course. We would have to frustrate the big man. Unfortunately, that would be scary, but necessary.
Right.
All right, so then what do we do if we go with your 10 that you like of Big E and Xavier?
I don't know, man, because they're the wild card. They are the X factor because they do things that you've never seen before.
Yeah, I know, which means we got to take out Xavier because he's obviously the brains. He's the crazy one. So we got to kill him with one of his crazy kill moves or let him kill himself early.
That means I got to withstand all of Big E's offense because you ain't.
A little bit. His storm. We gotta kill the one guy, and of course Biggie's gonna make his comeback. We gotta weather that storm and hope that X is still dead by the time we have to go back and get him.
Okay, and then how do we take out your combo, the Speed Force?
Oh, we just go that's right up our alley. We go, oh, you fast and you got moves, we fast, we got moves too.
That's true. I guess I guess when you put it that way, I could see that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I feel like that one's kind of the easiest one where it's like, oh, we've seen you. We've seen your type.
Yeah, we are your type.
Yeah, we know that speed.
All right, that's it, man. That's it. We tackled it.
It was, I'm not going to lie, like I said when I was writing down the matches, I was apprehensive about the six-mans, but I definitely enjoyed it. I was like, oh, there's a whole new wrinkle of extra stuff. So I'm not against this whole weird trio when we run into these, you know what I mean? There's a few out there where you run into this issue, so I'm not against it. I kept trying to think of which permutations and things, and we've talked about it many times. Like it was tough to figure out. So you know what I mean? And in these cases, I'm not against this version.
Yeah, this one I just ran it head on. I didn't even really think about which combo it was. I did try to make sure I got some of each combo so I had reference on each, but I just kind of went head on.
Yeah, like I said, especially this situation occurs from teams that have long runs. So, you know what I mean? I would probably attack it the same way, where it's like, all right, let's just go year by year, the big matches, and, you know, the combos will be there.
Yeah, yeah. And they had, I mean, being so, so popular for so long, they have so many big matches.
And still going. Yeah, that was the one thing. Like, a lot of times we have some of these teams, and you're like, wow, they wrestled for a long time. They didn't have too many pay-per-view matches. It was like, oh, no, they've had a lot of everything.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got away from TV pretty quick because I was like, unless the TV match was like something that was talked about a bunch, I was like, oh, let me just go straight at the pay-per-view matches. Let's go for the big guns.
Yeah, it was a fun experiment.
Yeah, for sure. The New Day. They do indeed rock. And yeah, it was very digestible. I can't believe you never talked about it in a way where it's digestible today.
I didn't get to it. But yeah, it was all enjoyable. Went down easy.
The New Day rocks. We love them. As the New Day.
Obviously, a lot of people love them too.
Yeah, and that ends February for us. That wraps up our February. We're into March now.
Oh, my goodness. We're almost to spring, almost out of this dull, snowy, lonely, depressing conundrum.
Yeah, agreed. We're almost a year into doing this.
I know. That's crazy, bro.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
For the year, do you think we do Sting and Luger?
How dare you? I don't know. That'll come to me like a muse. I want to wake up in a fever sweat and go and have a Lex Luger figure staring at me in my dreams. I don't know. I can't be pre-planned. I don't know. I can't put that much pressure on it, bro.
I'm just saying, if we're going to do Sting and Luger, I got to start now.
How dare you?
For 2 months from now. Actually, if we, whenever we do Sting and Luger, I don't even have to watch any matches. I just have to look back through my old notes.
No, you're going to go back and enjoy every second of it.
Yeah, that's true. You're actually right. All right, so we did New Day, and it took literally everything we had out of us. So we've put zero thought into future teams at this point. But the lines are open. Hit us up at DreamWorkPod on Twitter if you've got any team you would like to see. And, yeah, we will see you guys in March.
Yep. Until then, adios.